Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past three decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. He is also on the pro staff of Pierhead Archery, Air Force Air Guns, AGM Global Vision, and Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers. Feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Welcome to the Campfire, brought to you by DSC, Hornady, Trigicon, Taurus, TRHP Outdoors, and Mr. Luke Clayton. We're not that far away from hunting seasons.
Everybody's thinking about deer. It's August. You know, it just happens this time every year. The hunting shows, some of the hunting shows occur in August, and we're thinking about clearing that shooting lane from our hunting, from our blind to the feeder, and we're thinking about things. But I have some questions that you know, readily know the answers to all of this.
I hope so.
Yeah, Mr. Whitetail, you know you do. I know you do. So, okay, the bucks right now. I'd like to kind of walk us through where the whitetail buck is now in relation to hardened horn, what's coming up. So right now, you know, we're in mid-August now. And we're talking in Texas, most of them are still in velvet, right?
Yeah, there are probably a few of them along the Texas coast over around Victoria and that area where they may start already be in hard antler. But you're right. What's happening right now is that final little stage of those antlers really, truly hardening. And you can tell they're completely finished growing when, instead of being bulbous on the tips of where the growing antlers are, when they start becoming pointed. So we're right at that stage now where the antlers are being hardened totally, and it won't be long, probably in about 2 weeks or so, we'll start seeing some hard-antlered bucks. They're running in, for the most part, in bachelor herds. They're big buddies right now, and if you see one buck, you're probably going to see several of them together at one time.
Mm-hmm. True. So right now, the horns are basically the antlers.
They're done.
They've developed, and
right,
it's just the shreds now. What is it that causes the buck to something tells him it's time to start finding some brush and start rubbing those antlers, you know? Is there a chemical thing going on there, or hormones, or you know?
There is. It's a hormone thing. It's really kind of ruled by about a daylight or the amount of decrease in daylight. And what happens is that slowly the testosterone level has been increasing within those deer. Now, what will happen here about the time when these bucks start really getting to shed that velvet off of there, there'll be a peak in the testosterone. And that's what causes those blood vessels that have been going up in those antlers to constrict and die. And be honest with you, at that point, the velvet, for the most part, would probably come off anyway, but mm-hmm. it's starting to kind of itch a little bit as that is dying, and so that's when those bucks start kind of trying to move that velvet off. But for the most part, it would fall off anyway because it just kind of rot off because it's going to die. But an interesting thing, too, is those bucks, generally, when they rub that velvet, they will eat that velvet. And that's kind of a conservation of energy kind of thing. There's been all kinds of, you know, things put into those antlers on those deer, and that's a little bit of something they can get back. Occasionally you'll find strips of velvet, you know, that kind of get hung on a bush or something, or something happens where the deer doesn't do it. But, yeah, they'll eat most of that velvet when it comes off.
So I guess that's nature's way of maybe putting some of the minerals back in the deer's
Absolutely,
body, in the
yeah.
buck's body.
Yeah.
Okay. So when he's rubbed out, as we call it, when he's hard, you know, you look at it and you say, hey, there's a buck, you know, he's got antlers. So that'll probably be, we're around where I live, you know, by early September, you know, you see bucks in what we call hard horn, you know, they're rubbed out. So, but the breeding season is yet to start. As a rule, I mean, the rut is not underway. Now, at that point, the buck is capable of breeding or not?
Yes. As soon as he's in hard antler, he is producing viable sperm throughout the rest of the year. When he's not hard antler, generally they're not producing sperm. They're producing testosterone, because what happens is, as we talked about earlier, is that antler cycle is determined by amount of daylight hours or lack of daylight hours or increasing daylight hours or decreasing daylight hours. And that causes that testosterone level to get up. And what happens is once that velvet comes off, that testosterone level continues to build and continues to build a little bit more as you hit kind of toward the rut. And the reason the rut occurs, the primary breeding season occurs when it does, where it does, so that 7.5 months, like 230 days later, those fawns are born at the most opportune time nutritionally for that particular area. So that's the reason the rut occurs. We in Texas, we have rut to start, good gosh, in August here. Actually, probably almost starting now, if it's not already started, along some of those coastal areas. And then you get into deep south Texas and the old brush country, and there that rut occurs in generally in the middle to latter part of December. So we have great variance of timing of rut across the Texas, but that's really based upon the fact that when you look 230 days after that doe's been bred, that those does will have been on a really good nutritional diet so they can produce milk, and so when those fawns hit the ground, that there's vegetation for them to start eating as well too, as soon as they convert to, or really they start eating vegetation pretty shortly after they're born. Those first few days are just nursing, but after that they start eating things as well too.
So yes, so then a doe that's bred say the 1st of November, well by May the vegetation is up, not only for she's been eating lush, talking about in North Texas where I live, you know,
right,
but she's had a lush diet there for a couple of months really, and by the end of May or whenever there that she actually conceives those fawns. So she's in pretty good shape because of the range that she's the food.
Right.
And then there's vegetation up that will also help conceal her fawns, right?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. It helps conceal the fawns and that ground vegetation also. There's usually a lot of weeds and flowers and that kind of stuff that are coming on then. Of course, in that springtime, too, you have, you know, green growth coming on from all kinds of different brush and things. So, yeah, it's a combination of food and then cover as well, too, that's important for that time when those fawns are born.
Yes, sir. Well, let me back us up a little bit to fall again. So the buck is in hard horn. He's already rubbed out the velvet. Now, here's a question that really hangs a lot of even veteran deer hunters up. And I think I know the answer. I've watched them do it for years. But when they're rubbing, you'll see it. You'll see little saplings and stuff in late August. That's you say, wait a minute, that's a rub, buck rub. That's one type of, I always call those, just for lack of a better term, velvet rubs. But later, as it gets closer to the hunting, the rut, let's say, then you see fresh rubs again, don't you? A lot of times.
Yeah, you do. And basically what those rubs are doing is they're strengthening neck muscles and shoulder muscles so that when the fights start, which generally starts right before the serious rut gets going, when they're trying to establish dominance over other bucks. And, you know, a lot of times the people think that whitetails are territorial, where they're not really true territorial because they don't defend those territories. But you'll find rubs and, yeah, a little bit later on, and a lot, it's not uncommon for several bucks to rub kind of on the same tree. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing when they start making scrapes, which usually happens probably within about 3 weeks to a month after the time when they rub that velvet. And what happens, it's really interesting if you can watch for a group of deer. We're talking about bachelor herds. You know, this time of the year, they're big buddies. They'll be big buddies until the velvet comes off, and then they'll start sparring a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little bit closer to the rut as that testosterone level comes up. At that point, all of a sudden, those bucks don't like each other anymore. And they may have been the best of buddies and licking on each other and all that kind of thing. But when that rut gets started, there's some serious fighting that goes on at that point. And it'll stay that way pretty much throughout the breeding season. And then as we get back into the wintertime, then they'll kind of start all of a sudden, kind of like each other again. So it's an interesting cycle that they go through. Now, what really determines that buck, as you mentioned earlier, is once he sheds the velvet, he's producing viable sperm, and he's producing a fair amount of testosterone, but that testosterone level increases. But it's really the does that determine when that rut really it kicks off, when they become receptive to the advances of bucks.
Yes, yes. Another thing, interesting point, we talked about the scrapes. You know, this is something I know for an absolute fact, and I've done it, and, of course, you've done it many times. The preorbital glands up in the head of the deer, when he rubs that overhanging bush with that, he leaves a scent there. I guess like a marking post to say, this is
it
me.
Is, yeah.
I was there. Well, something that's very interesting to me and is an absolute fact, and I've done it, and you have to. The preorbital scent, I guess I don't know for a fact that different companies make it. I know for an absolute fact that Texas Raised Hunting Products, TRHP Outdoors.
Absolutely, they do.
Yeah, TRHP Outdoors is the website, I think.
Right.
Right. So I've used this stuff. You get in an area, don't do it in your backyard, but get in an area where you expect to see deer, out in your hunting lease or wherever. You find an overhanging bush and put that scent there. Last year we did it, and year before last also. I'm talking about, I don't remember doing it in an area where I expected to see bucks that I did not find a scrape, Larry.
Exactly. If you've ever been around where there are a bunch of male dogs and cars parked, you know how they'll pee and mark territory on a tire?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Essentially, that's kind of what happens, is that that's kind of what scrapes are when we really get kind of, because if you ever watch one, they'll work that branch, he'll nuzzle it up above,
mm-hmm.
and he'll rub his eyes on it, and that's where that preorbital gland is, and then he'll kind of put his feet together and he may scratch at it, and mm-hmm. usually when they can kind of clean an area out, you'll ever watch they'll do 3 to 5 times with their left foot, 3 to 5 times with their right foot. Then they'll put their knees together, or put their feet together, and then they'll kind of trickle that urine across that tarsal gland there, mm-hmm. the hock gland, down into the ground, and then they'll kind of move on. Okay, that's the scraping area. But then the next buck comes by, and he tries to X out the buck that was there not very long ago, and they'll keep coming around to those same areas. But if you can establish one of those, and a lot of folks are just starting to do this, they'll set up a false scrape to where they establish the scrape themselves.
Oh, yeah.
The time that these deer start scraping, and you can bring more bucks into an area by doing that and holding those bucks by frequenting. I'll get it out here a little bit. of going back in and freshening that scrape with the TRHP Outdoors, with the pre-arboral, and then some of the other scents that they have as well, too. That'll really keep those bucks keep coming in and to that area and hold them in that area a lot better as well, too.
Well, it's an absolute fact that deer communicate with scent. That's one of the ways.
Absolutely.
It's not rocket science, folks. You put that scent out, and I know for a fact that it works, and Larry does, too. And it's not – when would be a – well, now, really, in September, I guess. Go ahead and create some of these, right?
Absolutely. I usually my little place and where I can go with any regularity where I'm hunting, mm-hmm. I'll start them at least by the 1st of September. And then I'll start increasing the intensity of trying to visit them as much as I can, to freshen those things after that. But particularly as you get into September, that's when you want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Well, we're a little short on time, Larry, but we covered a bunch of good information here,
Yes, sir, we did.
and I'd like to maybe in the next visit, our next campfire, we may get into more more communal scrapes and things like that. Well, there's a whole bunch more that we didn't have time to cover that I've got rolling around in my brain to quiz you about. So let's do that next time. What do you say?
You got a deal.
Folks, this segment is made possible by Ultramatic Feeders. Go online to ultramaticfeeders.com and check out the most awesome line of game feeders in the world. I've been using these things for 15 years, and I've got one that's been in the woods about 10 or 11 years. I forget exactly how long. Check them out, ultramaticfeeders.com. Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun-related, anything you need relating to air guns. Go online to Pyramid, P-Y-R-A-M-Y-D, pyramidair.com. And also brought to us by Air Force Air Guns, maker of the Texan that I've been shooting and hunting big game with since they first come out. Check out the Texan and all the fine air guns there at Air Force Air Guns online, airforceairguns.com.